Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brings you that same excitement.
Deuce, we're going to shift gears on a dime. We welcome in now Scott Kushner, Pelicans and NBA columnist for the Times-Picayune and advocate, host of the Poke and Kush podcast. And 129-118, the Pelicans lost again to the Utah Jazz last night. And I love the take from Kushner. Where are the Pelicans' elite competitors that David Griffin promised? Scott, can you answer that?
I can't. It's one thing to lose. But when you build entire offseason and then tell everybody what you did is that you put together a bunch of guys who fight like hell and compete and elite competitors, I think was used, ferocious competitors. And then your coach, you know, less than 20 games into the season says, we don't have any pride when we play, you know, defense. And you're getting worked, you know, seven out of eight games you've lost. You get, you know, killed twice in a row. There's a disconnect what's occurred between what they intended to build and what they have built. And I think that on its own, it's a problem.
Off to a riveting start of the Van Gundy era. Are the players bought in?
I don't think they're not bought in. I don't think they necessarily fit what they are supposed to be doing. So you've got a team that isn't really capable of doing what's being asked of them. And you've got, when you've got Steven Adams and Zion on the floor together, it's really hard to cover the perimeter in the NBA. A lot of teams have four shooters. For example, a team they played the last two games, there's four shooters out there. You've got two guys who can't cover a shooter. The math makes it really difficult someone's going to be open at some point. So they've run themselves into problems. Utah made 38 threes in two games, just demolish them from beyond the arc. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, it just makes you feel like this whole thing's a little stilted. There's a fit that does not seem to be working between either the coaching philosophy or the roster management or just performance. But I wouldn't say they tuned them out. I don't think that's really fair because it's not as if they're just playing with nothing. They're not quitting. They're just not – they're not in it, you know. They're not fighting the way they should.
I got a question for you, or at least a thought process. When you talk about the last two games, particularly that they've played, or even the last five to seven opponents, or since they've been on this road trip, how many of those teams would you call elite, or at least just more so just average? You know, because I would say that Utah is going to be more of an elite team. You're not going to see a Utah-type team every night. Would you agree with that?
Sure. Yeah, no, this has been a really difficult trip. And I think entering it, everybody knew it was going to be a difficult trip. The fact they've, tightened COVID restrictions, I think has made it feel longer and more laborious, which definitely doesn't help the psyche of the team. But yeah, they also lost to Oklahoma City at home. They lost to Indiana at home. They lost to Charlotte at home. Those are three, very winnable games that you kind of let slip away. And so then when you go on the road and face these games that you probably aren't going to win, you kind of have to make them up because you let games that you had to win go. And so that's part of the deal, unfortunately, for them because, and now you're in a situation where you've lost seven to eight games and you don't really see it getting a whole lot better against good teams. So you got to wait until you play bad teams and hope you take advantage of them.
You know, Scott, I wasn't going to bring up the losses. You know, you talk about the Charlotte, not those particular losses, at least, a couple that you definitely should have had. It was just some questioning blunders by some veteran guys. And I know we talked a little bit about that roster, and, you know, you talk about the two bigs that really neither are a shooter or a stretch. But at what point, you know, because you listen to Coach Stan, and he's right now, he's not willing to adjust, whether it's the starters or even personnel, as far as giving Nas getting a little bit more time, Nikhil is getting a little bit more time, but he's not willing to alter what he's done up until this point yet. But at what point do you say, hey, look, guys, we got to go ahead and move some of the picks or a shape roster up and maybe try to help immediately? And I know we're in it for the long haul as far as the build is concerned, but right now it's just tough watching this build unfold.
That's accurate, Deuce. I think that's a good way to say it. It is difficult to watch, and it doesn't feel like much is changing. The issue, in a large part, being that, you know, Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe don't feel like they're long-term pieces of this team, yet they're out there playing, you know, 30-something minutes a night, and it's hard, you know, when they're not performing and they're not helping you win and they're not a part of the future, you kind of leave yourself going, well, what the heck are they doing out there? Like, what is the point of this? It almost feels like they're just spinning their wheels. And so I do find that, you know, people are getting frustrated about that, because if you're going to lose, there's a way to lose in which you are making your other players better for the future. Get Kyra Lewis a whole bunch of minutes. Get Nikhil Alexander Walker 25, 30 minutes a night. That's not happening right now. They're still playing a rotation that is, you know, kind of, they're trying to optimize, you know, for the present rather than the future. And it's not working. And I think that if it was, then there's really nothing to complain about. But the fact that it's not, you need to adjust. And I think that is a definite source of frustration for those around the team.
So, you know, going forward, as far as this team is concerned, Scott, you know, what Zion is playing well. But then we know the deficiencies as far as defense is concerned. It's gotten better, but there's still some deficiencies there. And then you look at, you know, you talk about surrounding him with shooters. Guys just aren't making shots. Guys aren't making shots. And you're getting shots, you're getting opportunities, but you're not getting them. And so is that something that Stan can kind of continue to tinker with, you know, from what you have before we just blow it up, you know, personnel-wise?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to – they've tried to tinker with it. You know, they've used some different combinations, and they've tried to, you know, play Zion a little bit at the five. It hadn't been much. But there's not a lot of opportunity when you look at this roster of ways to really space it out and ways to play kind of that modern game that you see Utah playing, or even that you saw the Pelicans play the last few years, where they had Zion and AD both played the five a lot under Alvin Gentry. And they don't want to do that because they really don't have the personnel for it right now, but since you invested a bunch of money in Steven Adams. So you're kind of stuck. There's a way, like, they showed they can win some games early in the year playing this way, but you have to be really, really good defensively, and they haven't been that. And you have to be really efficient when you get your opportunities, and they haven't been that either. So it is the margin for error just keeps getting slimmer and slimmer, and that, I think, is ultimately the biggest problem facing them, is that you can win. It just takes playing really, really well most nights, and they're not coming close to playing really, really well most nights.
Scott Kushner, NBA writer, Pelicans writer for the New Orleans Times and Times-Picayune advocate. And Scott, what's positive? What's positive? Can you give me some positive about this team?
Sure, I can try. I think that you do see Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson are both very effective NBA players, and that the fact that they are both at their ages, which is, you know, 23 and 20, you've got a core that a lot of teams would kill to have. You've got two guys there, two all-star base that you can build around, and they just have to put the right pieces. Getting the players is the hardest part. Getting the stars in the NBA is easily the hardest thing you can do. It's the other part is, you know, takes some time and takes hitting on some stuff right, but is definitely, you have more opportunity to change that on an annual basis than it is to try to go get all stars. So the Pelicans are it's dire right now because the results aren't there and you can see some very clear deficiencies, but these aren't deficiencies that are like just press the reset button, blow the whole thing up and start over. You've got a good, you know, nucleus in place to build around. And so that is the good thing.
Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, sorry. So that's I would say that's the most uplifting part is just when you've got Zion and you've got Brandon Ingram, I think you can build everything else around that.
Scott, with the Pelicans back in action tomorrow against the Timberwolves and then they're at home against the Spurs, give me the next four games. What do you think realistically they can do in the next four games? They got the Wizards, Bucks after the Spurs and Timberwolves.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it as optimistically as possible, I think 3-1 is not totally unrealistic. Minnesota's not very good. Washington's not very good. San Antonio's not very good. Milwaukee is great. That is almost that'll be a very hard challenge. But you know, I think if you go 3-1, you settle the nerves of everybody around this team a little bit. That you calm everyone down. That you show that there's kind of a path going forward this season. You just can't do what you did against Oklahoma City and Charlotte and those kinds of teams. You got to go out and beat the teams you're supposed to. And so these are really kind of gut check games. And I think if you see some more losses, if this is a 1-3 or even a 2-2, I think you're going to start to see the trade rumors heat up pretty significantly.
You're leading me into my next question. Who could be moved off of this roster? And also, who could they look to acquire? Do you anticipate or expect them to be active, fairly active, or very active?
I expect them to be very active. There's really no sacred cows on this team with the exception of Ingram and Zion, so anybody else is really a movable part. Lonzo Ball's contract comes up at the end of the year. He is obviously not playing well. He doesn't seem particularly happy with his role, which they moved him off the ball a lot. So I think he is kind of a very natural trade candidate. If anybody's interested, I'm just not sure who is really interested in him and what he could get. Eric Bledsoe, they'd like to be able to move. I don't know if he has any market because he's got a couple years left in his deal. It's just not it's not very straightforward of what they can get. They'd love to be able to deal someone. They have a whole bunch of picks. They got a million first-round picks from the Lakers and Bucks. You'd think they'd be able to do something with them, but you got to package them with a couple players. Those picks are really far out for the most part. And so if you wanted to go get, you know, a Bradley Beal or somebody who could really change the tenor of the franchise, I don't really know how you can do that because I don't know what the other teams are willing to offer at this stage.
Scott, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
All right, there he goes. Scott Kushner, Pelicans and NBA columnist for the Times-Picayune and New Orleans Advocate, also host of the Polk and Kush podcast. Deuce and Christian here. It's the Fans and the Pro on WWE.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.